Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
We have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast.
Welcome to Utopia.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. It is a Friday edition of the Utopia Football Podcast preview edition. We haven't done one of these in a couple of weeks because of the bye week. But we're going to preview the Dolphins game, give you my prediction on the game as well. We'll do it six-pack style, storylines, people that matter in this game, things that intrigue me, and maybe they intrigue you as well. This will be a nice, quick, tight podcast to get you ready for Sunday's game. My name is Sean Pendergast. If you're new to the podcast, I'm one half of Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. weekday mornings. You can get us on the radio on 610. You can get us on the Odyssey app. We have a YouTube and Twitch channel as well. A lot of ways to consume and listen to the show. If you can't get up early, 6 a.m. for the show, we've got a rewind feature on the app that you can rewind if you happen to come in midway through the show. We also podcast the show. Seth and I, our podcast numbers for the show are really, really good. So we thank everybody who has subscribed and downloads the Payne and Pendergast podcast on a daily basis. We appreciate that very, very much. I appreciate everybody who's downloading this podcast. To that end, you can see at the bottom of the screen here, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe, rate, and review. Whatever you can do to help those numbers, we love that. If you enjoy the podcast, definitely give it a rating and a review. If you don't enjoy the podcast, I'm recommending less that you give a rating and a review, but I want to operate with integrity. If you hate me, then feel free to tell me so. Either way, subscribe. That's the biggest thing that helps. I hate listen to a lot of things and subscribe to a lot of things that I hate listen. Maybe that's just me. So that's what I would love to see you do is subscribe, rate, and review. And also, we do a mailbag episode. We're back to a normal week because there's a game on Sunday. So there'll be a recap episode that you'll see either late Sunday night or early Monday morning, hopefully of a Texans win over the Dolphins. And then we do a mailbag episode every Wednesday. If you'd like to send me an email about anything, Texans in particular, but anything else is fair game. HOU mailbag at gmail.com. HOU mailbag at gmail.com. If you're watching on the stream, you can see it at the bottom of the screen right there. HOU mailbag at gmail.com. All right, so let's get popping here with this Dolphins game, and we're going to get to the six pack, the pregame six pack in just a second. But just to lay the groundwork here, the Texans can wake up Monday morning, AFC South champions again. They won it last year. They were leading the AFC South during the regular season, exactly 0 minutes. Unless you count after Tennessee lost. Is it Tennessee? No, Jacksonville lost to Tennessee. They clinched the division for them. They didn't play a single minute. Let me put it this way. The Texans didn't play a single minute last season in first place in the AFC South. They won the division because later in the day, there was a loss, or later in the weekend, because they played on Saturday night. The Texans did last year. So they had to wait around for a night, one sleep, and then they wake up, watch one game, poof, you're division champs. Congratulations, Texans. If they're able to clinch this thing now, it would be the eighth division championship since 2011. It's kind of interesting that the Texans tend to win these things in two-year pockets. And then the next season, historically, is horrible for some reason. So I'm rooting for them to win the division, but I'm hoping that ultimately they break the string of win the division, shitty season. That's a bad thing, man. 2011, 2012, won the division. 2013, picking first in the draft, 2-14 that year. 2015 and 16, win the division. 2017, Deshaun Watson tears his ACL. You go 4-12. And then 2018 and 19, win the division. And then the next season, Bill O'Brien's fired four games in, and he's completely ransacked the house by trading DeAndre Hopkins and giving out a bunch of shitty contracts. And the COVID year hit, and then the Texans really went into the valley. We don't need to relive that. Let's just clinch this division and then keep winning divisions for years and years and years. That would be a suitable replacement. So the magic number is 2. If the Texans are able to win this game on Sunday against the Dolphins, which we'll talk about here in a second, and the Colts lose to the Broncos, which I am predicting will happen, then the Texans will clinch the division. And then that sets an interesting chain of events in place that we'll dig into more when the time comes. It's a lot of hypotheticals, but the Texans, bottom line, could be in a position come that Christmas game where they just can't move anywhere else in the standings. You know, they're 2 games back of the Steelers and Bills for the 2 and the 3 seeds right now. They did beat the Bills earlier this year, so they do have a tiebreaker. So if you're trying to climb up and get home field advantage potentially in subsequent games in the playoffs and improve your seeding, then I get that. The Texans most likely will be the 4 seed as the least of the 4 division winners. I would expect they're going to finish the season probably 9-8 or 10-7, and they would be the 4 seed in the AFC. The interesting thing will come if after the Chiefs game that the Texans are 3 games back of the Bills, the Steelers. You know, the Chiefs are way out in front of everybody right now, and they are stuck at the 4 seed with 2 games to go. I think that's going to get very interesting to see what the Texans do in that Christmas Day game against the Ravens. That's 4 days after playing the Chiefs and just the 3rd game in 11 days against a very, very physical team. I would guess they're going to play it like a normal regular season game, even though they can't change their fortunes at all. But it'll certainly open themselves up to a lot of criticism if they were to play a bunch of guys and anybody significant were to get hurt in that game. That's what makes it so interesting. Let's eat what's on our plate right now, though. It's the Dolphins and the Texans. Noon on Sunday, 9 a.m. Texans countdown gets started right outside the stadium, southeast corner of the stadium on a huge stage. Me and Seth Payne will be doing the pregame show. Feel free to stop by, say hello, say Merry Christmas, whatever it is you want to do. We love seeing people out there, take pictures, the whole thing. That's at 9 a.m. Kickoff is at noon, and then Clint Sterner and I will have the postgame show following the game leading into Sunday Night Football. The Texans, as of a few minutes ago, are a 3-point favorite. That's the biggest this spread has been really since the beginning of the season. I think my guess is the spread was bigger. The look ahead line was bigger on this game when there was some uncertainty about Tua playing in it, that maybe the spread moved beyond a field goal, 4 or 5 points, whatever it may be. Honestly, if anybody other than Tua is playing quarterback for this team, the spread should be 10 or 14 points because their backup quarterbacks are dog shit. The Dolphins, that is. But the spread right now is 3. So these teams are viewed as basically equals on a neutral field. Obviously, the Texans are 8-5, but it's not a super impressive 8-5. Their point differential this season is only +20.
flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
The Dolphins, meanwhile, are 6-7, but I don't view them as a 6-7 football team. I view them as the team that has Tua and the team that doesn't have Tua. And the fact of the matter is that they are 4-2 since Tua has returned from his concussion. He's won 4 out of 5. 4-2. Their first game back was a loss to the Bills, and they've since gone on to win 4 of their next 5. No world beaters in there. There's a Raiders win in there and a Jacksonville win and so forth. So it's not like they've stood in toe-to-toe and been able to beat any of the big teams in the AFC or around the NFL for that matter. And that's frankly one of the big criticisms of Mike McDaniel is he can't beat good teams. 1-14, I think the record is, against teams with a winning record. So that plays into, I think, a perception of the Dolphins that they're a little soft. Now, I don't view the Texans as one of these teams that should just be cashing in a win over the Dolphins by any means. I think the Texans are 8-5. I think they're lucky to not be 6-7, maybe, or 7-6. I don't think the Texans have played up to their record this year. I know all they care about is they're 8-5, and that's fine. But if I'm handicapping this game, I think these two teams are very evenly matched, especially considering that the Texans are going to be missing two key pieces on defense, with Azeez Al-Shaair serving the first game of his 3-game suspension. And Jalen Petrie, that news just came down literally as I was checking my email before recording this. The team officially put him on injured reserve. The news had come down earlier this week that he was going to need surgery. They finally went ahead and sent in the paperwork, and Jalen Petrie is on injured reserve. So that's kind of where we are health-wise. Other than the Al-Shaair suspension and the Petrie out for the season, the Texans are getting better health-wise right now. They've welcomed some guys back. Foley Fatakasi is practicing once again. Danico Autry, who missed the game, he's back practicing. And then obviously, as we've talked about on this podcast, Christian Harris and Kenyon Green, not officially activated yet, but I would hope that at the very least Christian Harris. Kenyon Green, I can go either way. We'll see what happens along the offensive line this week and who they start at left guard. Juice Scruggs is going to be out for a couple games with a foot issue. So they are juggling some things right now, but by and large, about as healthy as you can hope to be at this juncture in the season if you're the Houston Texans. So let's get into it. The pregame six-pack, the six, well, really 5 storylines or people that intrigue me about this game, and then the 6 can is always the prediction. So let's get to it. Can number 1, the matchup that intrigues me the most in this game and should intrigue people that are casual viewers of this game: Nico Collins, who I think you can make a case when healthy has been the best wide receiver in football this year, against Jalen Ramsey, who's not quite what he once was, but he's still good once as he ever was, to quote the late, great Toby Keith. In other words, Jalen Ramsey's still a pretty damn good football player. They did pay him like a premier player this offseason. Jalen Ramsey's still very good, possible future Hall of Famer. And if there's one thing we've learned this season, the barometer for the Texans offense and really the straw that stirs the drink, the one that, and the guy they rely on when everything else fails, when everything's breaking down, there's number 12. It's Nico Collins. The 5 games without Nico Collins, the Texans were dreadful. They were 2-3, all sorts of offensive issues. The 8 games with Nico Collins, they're 6-2. And Collins leads the NFL in receiving yards per game right now. He'd have a whole lot more if they didn't commit penalties on some long touchdowns that he had as well. DeMeco compared Nico to Andre Johnson this week in a press conference, and that's a comparison I had made last week, is that the similarities between the two are striking. Now, I think Nico's a freak. Andre's like from another planet. Nico is from like the freakiest part of our planet. Andre's from another planet. But in terms of the function that they serve in this offense with the route tree, the fact that they can, you know, they can get deep, even though they don't look physically like guys who are burners, they are both. Andre especially is, you know, super fast, can get deep, perfect on the play action crossing routes, perfect when everything breaks down, missile screens, whatever it may be. Nico Collins can do everything you ask a wide receiver to do, plus block, plus practice, all of those things. He is the 2024 version to the Texans of what Andre Johnson was, and I think the personalities are very, very similar. Hell, Nico even had a shopping spree for kids at a toy store. Dre used to do that, may still do that, but that was his big charity endeavor every year, was a big shopping spree for kids at a local department store. Nico did that very thing last week. It's not as annoying as Dylan Raiola cosplaying Patrick Mahomes. It's not annoying at all. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like Nico Collins goes around impersonating Andre Johnson, like that goofball Dylan Raiola, the quarterback at Nebraska, does with Mahomes. That's just creepy and uncomfortable. This is just a nice coincidence that Nico Collins happens to be Andre Johnson 2.0. So the matchup of Nico and Jalen Ramsey is going to be a great one. I'm hoping it's reminiscent of the days when Jalen Ramsey, and when he was a Jaguar, he used to go at it with D-Hop all the time. That'll be a huge, huge matchup to watch in this game. And does Nico Collins keep his streak? Does he keep his average above 100 yards? I think he does. I think he has a big, big game against this Dolphins defense. Can number two. This is the first game, life without Aziz Alshire. Not the first game this season where they haven't played with Alshire. He missed a few games earlier this year. But the first game of his suspension since tattooing Trevor Lawrence to the Jacksonville, the Everbank Field turf 2 weeks ago. So now with Alshire out, and now you've got Jalen Petrie out as well, you've got to worry about you've got to worry about the middle of the field. And who was it? It was Aaron Rodgers who talked about Aziz Alshire. And when you're scouting the Texans, you got to find where Zero is, because he poses such an intimidating presence. It's not just a Dolphins game. It's the next few games. Those are teams that love to eat across the middle of the field, with whether it's tight ends with the two tight ends in Baltimore in a couple of weeks, whether it's Travis Kelce and Noah Gray. Jonnu Smith's had a really good last month or so for the Miami Dolphins. And then obviously all the stuff they love to do with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle crossing the field. No disrespect to Neville Hewitt or Henry Toa Toa. They ain't Aziz Alshire in terms of the speed to be able to hang with certain guys, but the intimidating presence as well. So I think that's an issue for the Houston Texans, especially tight ends, man. Jonnu Smith has been really, really good for the Dolphins of late. So anxious, concerned about the first game of Aziz Alshire's suspensions against these teams coming up in particular. Can number three. The chunk plays. Look, the Texans have a good defense. They're very talented. They're very productive. They defend the run decently. Not fantastic, but decently. 4.1 yards per carry. They're on the right side of average. They allow the sixth lowest passer rating in the NFL. They allow the lowest completion percentage in the NFL. These are all things that you hear and you go, wow, this must be an amazing defense. There's one big problem. They give up a ton of big plays and a ton of touchdown passes. And the big plays that they allow are to far lesser teams than this version of the Dolphins. They've let teams hang around in games. Some teams even beat them in games because they've allowed huge plays. You know, the Tennessee Titans come to mind immediately as to a game that they lost because of big chunk plays. You know, the Colts were able to get four massive chunk plays in the season opener, but the Texans were able to counter that because the offense was moving the football in that game. Big chunk plays are a problem. The Texans are sixth in plays of 30-plus yards allowed in the league right now. That's an issue. And the problem here is the Dolphins, you know what they generate? Big chunk plays. They've got elite speed on that team. Devon Achane, the running back out of the backfield. Tyreek Hill is the most explosive player in the NFL over the last few years. On the field, explosive off the field too. I don't know if anybody can confirm for me. Is there a 12th kid now that Tyreek Hill has had confirmed? I can never tell anymore with these aggregators. They tweeted something out about Tyreek Hill having another baby mama yesterday. I never know if these things are true. I know at least several of the kids are actual Tyreek Hill offspring. But anyways, explosive on the field. God, I get agita just thinking about the child support bills for Tyreek Hill when he's done getting $30 million a year playing football. This is the best paying job he's ever going to have. That's for another time and place. But they've got to cut down on the big plays, the Texans do, on defense. And if they're going to win on Sunday, they've got to turn this into a game where they make the Dolphins work for every yard. That's why I'd be surprised if they came out and, you know, Stingley and Laster against Waddle and Tyreek Hill, and they're just manning them up and following them everywhere. That's a recipe to give up 45 points. I'm going to see a lot of zone, you know, with some, you know, man concepts sprinkled in here and there. But I think it's going to be way more zony this week and keep everybody in front of you. Bend but don't break. You know, this might be a good weekend to have the whoever the Dolphins field goal kicker is. I could see a lot of bend but don't break going on out there with the Texans defense, and I'm totally cool with that. All right, can number four in the six-pack. Bye week discoveries on offense. Did we learn anything in the self-scout about this team offensively? I couldn't believe when I saw that the Texans are tied for 11th in scoring in the NFL. It does not feel that way. The level of criticism of this team and this defense does not feel like a team who's in the upper third of scoring offenses. I'm sorry, criticism of the offense does not feel like this is an offense. It should be in the upper third in the league in scoring, and yet they are. They're scoring nearly 24 points a game, which is remarkable when you consider that in most games they just don't score in one of the two halves, at least touchdowns. Some of that I can start to, where I've been somewhat critical of Bobby Slowick about his rhetoric and how he's tried to frame this thing with a more optimistic view than what we see with our own eyes. I can kind of get what he's saying, which is when you get sustained success that's confined to a half like that, and then it just looks totally different in the second half, then there would be a tendency, I think, to say, man, just keep doing the same stuff. You guys can score consistently, you know, in the first half of games. Why not in the second? Now, the Jacksonville game was the reverse. They only scored 6 in the first half, but they scored 17 in the second half. Let's be clear, though. Like, other than the Patriots game, none of these games are offensive explosions that make you nervous or scared of the Texans' offense. I know they scored 34 in the Cowboy game. 7 of that came from the defense. So I'm not going to act like a 27-point performance is an outburst of some sort, but I can kind of see where Bobby Slowick's coming from. Obviously, the issue for the Texans has been the offensive line, allowing 42 sacks. Most of the damage in the run game, to me, has come from Joe Mixon's individual brilliance and not because they've just got this system working. I think there's a reason why Joe Mixon gets all the carries, and it's because he's the only one that they trust to run the football right now. So that's a little scary. So what did you discover during the bye week? And Bobby Slowick wasn't going to give up any specifics, but he was very clear. A ton of self-scouting went on, and there are a lot of things to be optimistic about, according to him. Now, he's been saying that all year. We'll see what happens on the offensive line. No Juice Scruggs. It looks like we may see Zachary Thomas, a waiver wire pickup from New England, play some left guard. I've not watched any of him playing left guard. I let Seth Payne do that heavy lifting, and Seth was, I would say, mildly optimistic about him playing guard. You know, just not over the moon or anything like that. But from what I could gather from Seth on our show this morning, it didn't sound like it was going to be a total disaster, which unfortunately that's the bar at left guard right now for the Texans. Not a total disaster. Welcome to the NFL, sir. Here's your starting left guard spot. Well, how did I get here? Well, you're not a total disaster. I'm hoping that Bobby figured some things out and that they can get some balanced scoring here and actually score in both halves of games. I do think if I were to pick a half to have my outburst against the Dolphins this week, it would be the first half, because I think this is a team that is a little soft. I think if you get up a couple touchdowns on them, while they have the firepower to get back in the game, I could see this being a team that might open up a little bit of a can of quit. Now, they've still got heavy incentive to play hard in this game. they win this game, they're 7-7, and you get one or more of those 8-5 wild card teams at 5, 6, and 7 that lose on Sunday. And now the Dolphins can really talk themselves into some things the last few weeks. I just don't think very highly of the culture of their team and the toughness of their team. I like Anthony Weaver on defense a lot, their defensive coordinator, but Mike McDaniel's the one who's the tone setter, and the way they've played against good teams and the way they've turtled in certain games, that's, I think they're a great front-running team. You know, I think back to that 70-20 win over Denver last year. Like, I think if they get up on you, they're into it and they'll pile it on. But I think the opposite can happen. So I'm not too worked up about, hey, must score in the second half of this game. I'm way more about get a lead, score on them early. You're at home, crowd in the game, keep the crowd in the game, and keep the gas foot on the gas pedal. And then I think you can choke them out at that point. So that's can number four. Can number five, I just think it's interesting, all the little incestuous angles of the coaching tree here going on. D'Amico Ryans and Mike McDaniel going against each other, to me, is super interesting. Both Shanahan staff guys. We know it's D'Amico that coordinates the defense for the Texans, even though he's a head coach. And similarly with Mike McDaniel, he's the one pushing the buttons on the offense for the Dolphins. This should be a fascinating, fascinating coaching matchup. And especially not just the personalities involved in that they have a history, but all the things McDaniel likes to do with all the motion and all the movement and what D'Amico described as all the eye candy that the Texans have to have eye discipline in this game. It's going to be a fascinating matchup. And then Anthony Weaver coming back to Houston, where obviously he was a player for a few years. He was on the coaching staff for several years as well, including the last season here in 2020 as a defensive coordinator, where it did not end all that well for anybody that season. That was the COVID season. That was awful. That was terrible. And I felt bad for Anthony Weaver that year, because while the Texans were doing everything to invest resources on the offensive side, silly things like trade Hopkins and trade for Brandon Cooks, they did nothing defensively to address anything. You know, they gave Eric Murray a contract. You know, it was bad. Like, he had, in my opinion, just not great personnel on that side of the football. So maybe there's a little something in the craw for Anthony Weaver wanting to come back and show some things as a defensive coordinator now for the Dolphins. I'm really happy for Anthony Weaver that he's back on some head coaching hot lists. Bill Belichick crossing himself off head coaching hot lists and going to UNC may help some people out in terms of openings and whatnot. Although, who knows, maybe nobody was interested in Bill Belichick in the NFL. So, but I'm happy for Anthony Weaver, and I'm very excited to see that McDaniel versus D'Amico matchup and see if D'Amico's messaging gets through to his team this week. I know every week I'm sure he accentuates, don't give up the big plays. Does it get through to these guys? Does the bye week help? Is this a matchup where having that extra week to get ready and rejuvenate and recharge more than anything else? Do we see that? Do we see an out of the bye week Houston Texans? So sixth can is the prediction. I say yes, but barely. 27-26 final score. Texans beat the Miami Dolphins. That's my prediction. I'm not going to say that it's a Taimi Fairbairn last second field goal or anything like that. But I think 27-26. This feels like a close game between two very evenly matched teams. And that's what I'm going to go with. So there you go. All right. Appreciate everybody tuning into the podcast. Appreciate my producer, Anthony Irwin, for getting it out to all of you on a timely basis. And a reminder to all of you to, if you haven't yet, subscribe to the podcast. Give us a rating and a review as well. We'll have a recap of the Dolphins game coming up on Monday morning. It'll drop probably late Sunday, early Monday. You'll have it. And then a mailbag episode. Again, a reminder, houmailbag@gmail.com is the email address. We do the mailbag. We do the mailbag. It drops on Wednesday, records sometimes on Tuesday. Best to get your questions in by Monday or early Tuesday if you want them to be in the mailbag. But send them in, man. This is going to be fun. Final 4 weeks of the season are here. This season is flying by right now, and we're into the really, really difficult part if you're a Houston Texans fan. So let's go get it. Let's get it together. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to all of you. Appreciate all of you listening to the Utopia Football Podcast. Enjoy the games. Have a great weekend.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.